think it will help us understand why is God demanding this touching of the dead body. Because being unclean, it is dominates everyone, the Nazarite or not a Nazarite. But why is it really the deadness of things? I think of the previous chapter, chapter 5, God says, where I dwell. And he dwells amongst his people. So why is it this dead? Because dead and death is a result of sin. And in the presence of God, he hates sin. And death resembles or speaks before God of sin itself. And that's why it was defiling. You might say it's legitimate. Yes, it is legitimate. But we are talking about deadness, that because of sin came into this world, death has passed unto all men. And because what speaks of, what death speaks of, it had to be something put out, what we read in Numbers 19. But I want to bring it home in a positive way. We spoke literally what happened. But I wonder if we can compare this, because the settings of it is a family setting. It's not a stranger. It's not someone, you know, we don't know, or someone in the world. Someone within the family range, as we have heard. And I truly believe that in the Nazariteship, there is a lesson of separation. There is a lesson of, as I'm submitting to authority, there is anticipation that my Lord is coming. That's the time period. But in the Nazariteship, there is something, I certainly see it, and maybe the brethren can weigh on it, is there is the thought of discipleship. There is the thought of discipleship, because the same words that are used in relationship to the deadness in Numbers are the same individuals that the Lord Jesus uses in relationship to what? To discipleship. And the discipleship is, again, that the Lord Jesus will be the preeminent one in their lives. And that's why it touches home. That it's not about your father, it's not about your mother, it's not about anything that is of natural ties. It is about me. And God wants to test us and to test how real we are, that Christ will have the preeminence in all things.
Mm-hmm. And I like that thought that we have in these two verses, that it's coming upon a dead body. So that's that which is without daily living. And then as death impacts those who are close to me. I was thinking also in terms of this thing with dead and death, is that it is that which is associated with a scene that is under the judgment of God. So sin has come in, and sin has been judged in the Lord Jesus. He has dealt with it, and the world in which we live is under condemnation. And so as a believer, a young believer who has a real desire to be devoted to the Lord, this scripture is saying in a real way that I have to be conscious that I move around as someone who is living amongst dead things. And so, and we will see this in a very stark way with Samson, but we know it is true for us. So a dead man, and this is now the reverse of what you get in Romans, but a dead man, those who are dead around us, should not be influencing me, because I'm alive unto Christ. And that person over there who knows not the Lord should not influence or defile me at all. In fact, what do we do with things that are dead? We bury them. We get them out of sight, because we know if you leave that dead person in the chair, it will have a defiling impact upon all of us if we sit here long enough. So we don't want to go near those things. We want to be occupied as young people, those who are alive with Christ, with him where he is. And so we come back to some of the same themes that we had earlier. The world that is dead produces things that are dead, that feeds the dead man, the old man, the things that are all in Adam, that are under condemnation. So whether it is friends who know not the Lord, they are not going to promote holiness and separation and good testimony. They're going to promote things that are eventually going to lead to death and destruction in me. Now, of course, not eternal destruction, but the fact that these things have a defiling impact because they are dead things. And so dead things, young people, and we have to, it's sometimes very hard for us to understand that we have to look at those that we know, the associations that we have, as recognizing them as God does, defiling someone who has been made alive.
I think the key to understanding this really is verse 8, because we have holiness, and we didn't really speak about holiness perchance. We've used the word separation, but holiness is being set apart unto God. And we have death, which is a result of sin, and sin is what separated us from God. Well, the Nazarite is making a conscious choice to be separated unto God. So he must avoid that which would affect that, which would separate him from God, which would defile that holiness. So I think that the key to this is we are to maintain a holy walk. Be holy, for I am holy. Well, that necessitates avoiding that which is corrupting, that which is defiling, that which would affect the holiness. And that's not, and, you know, talk about being careful. It's not just, you know, I have to avoid this place because I know wrong can occur there. It could happen suddenly. So that's where the care, I think, really comes in, because it's not always something that I can control. But I always have to take care of the consequences, which I think is what you have in verse 9. Because if a man dies suddenly by you, you might not have control over that situation, but you still have to deal with the consequences of it.
So could we put one word that would maybe summarize all three, thinking of everything that's been said, and we're encouraged last night, and I'd like to just emphasize that part again, is that when we look at this separation of a Nazarite, is not to look at it, and even in our explaining of all this, it almost comes from that side of being a negative thing. And it's not a negative thing. But because we're human, because we are in the flesh, be ye holy as I am holy. How can I accomplish such a thing? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. How can I live in this world and not be defiled by some dead thing? Like Emo said, it's the hardest thing. We're going to drive out the driveway here. And defilement in this world happens like this so easy. And what is it? What is it that will keep us? And it's not by looking at ourselves and saying, don't do this and don't do that. But the standard that is set up, that is here for us, isn't a standard now that is a human standard or a fleshly standard at all. It's a divine standard. And the only way any of this can be maintained is in close communion, and that's the word, communion with, for the Israelites, Jehovah. For us, that's the Lord. There can only be maintenance in this separation when it's not looking at how can I, but it's looking off unto Him. And looking to Him and in close communion with the Lord. And then I find now my affections need to be engaged with Him. So there's desire on my part to follow His leading. Not where there is, now I can't do this, I can't do that. And what can I do anyways? That's the negative side. The positive side being communion. Where I have the Lord before me and what is pleasing in His sight. And then what this does, this shows us and we learn what sin is to God. And it's something that is ongoing in our lives as we mature in our spiritual life as Christians. is what the dreadfulness and how much God, as you said, how God hates sin. And then we'll learn to see that as we have communion and fellowship with the one who hates sin, but now we can find our joy, peace, and communion in him.